Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, feminist, pansexual, ho, living in New York City.
And Akua, one inspired, fresh ho, ready for the new year.
Fresh ho. Mm-hmm. I like that. On this here show with two fresh hoes, there are actually four hoes who host the show. Four fresh hoes. Who hosts the show? And we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is an interview episode.
And we are speaking today with a tantrika pleasure coach, sex expert. That always trips me up. Sex expert and internet sensation, Glamazon Tayomi.
Ooh, and we're going to be talking to her about tantra, pleasure coaching, and a whole bunch of cool shit because she has a stacked ass resume.
Ooh,
yeah.
Child.
Yeah, she's mad smart and she's done a lot of things.
And if you guys want to follow along with the conversation that we have on this podcast, on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here's show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Let's get into the show. Whoa, false start. I actually said that 2 weeks ago, not knowing that I had some very important things to tell you all. The first is that this episode is sponsored by Youth Testify. So Youth Testify is a program of the National Network of Abortion Funds and Advocates for Youth. Young leaders in the Youth Testify program are sharing their abortion stories to show why it's important for them to have access to abortion care when they need it. Young people face significant barriers and stigma when trying to get an abortion. So in many states, young people have to get permission from a guardian or prove to a judge that they are capable of making decisions about their own bodies. They have to schedule multiple appointments around school or work, often risking disciplinary action by schools or employees. Depending on where they live, they may need to travel long distances to get to their appointments, and they have to raise hundreds of dollars to pay for their procedures. The average cost of an abortion is actually $450. So this really shouldn't be a reality, right? We need to trust young people to make decisions that will inevitably impact their bodies and their futures. That's why the Youth Testify storytellers and young people around the country are leading the fight to ensure all people have access to abortion care free from barriers and stigma by speaking out, organizing, and sharing their own abortion stories. You can visit youthtestify.org to learn more. Once again, that's youthtestify.org to learn more information. The next very important thing that I have to tell you is that the last week in January and the beginning of February, if you're in New York City, is going to be lit as fuck. So Saturday, January 26th, winter is coming, my friends. We are throwing a homecoming party for our recently returned co-host, Rob. It's going to be free, $99. All you have to do is RSVP, and the party starts at 7 p.m. and is going to be from 7 to 10 p.m. at Star Bar in Brooklyn, New York. It's free with RSVP, but there is an option to donate if you would like. The Eventbrite link is going to be in the description for this episode. Patrons, please check out Patreon for access to our VIP hour before the party begins. Once again, the link to all of that is going to be in the description of this episode. We'll see you on the 26th. And the very next evening at 5 p.m. on January 27th, Miss Vixen, who is run by Queen from Tea with Queen and Jay, and the folks at Carefree Black Girl Podcast are doing a 2019 vision boarding workshop and vision boarding session centering Black femmes. So all you visual-ass people who would like to manifest good things this new year, make sure you check out that event. Once again, the link to that is going to be in the description for this episode. And then the very next day, on January 28th, which is a Monday, if you enjoy live podcasts, especially if they're by two smart Afro-Latinx femmes from the Bronx unpacking their baggage, unpacking the baggage of the world, unpacking our baggage, their baggage, then you should come to see Bag Ladies Live, hosted by WNYC at the Green Space in Manhattan, New York. The link to that is also going to be in the description of this episode. And February 3rd, Sex Trivia, hosted by Inner Ho Uprising at Love Story Bar. It's fun. It's a little nasty. There's old school sex songs. We learn about stuff. We debate. We give out prizes. You all compete, you answer questions, it's pub trivia, but with a sexy twist. At the end, we twerk. Actually, in the beginning, we twerk. During, we twerk. At the end, we do play beer pong sometimes, though. It's all free. It's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., first Sunday of every month. So the February edition is going to be February 3rd. You have time to have a good time and also still be in bed for work the next day if you have to get up super early on Monday. To compete, RSVP using the link in the description of this episode, and that's to play as an individual or as a team, or you can just come and spectate and have fun. Doesn't matter. We'll see you there February 3rd. Once again, all of that is in the description of this episode. Now, let's learn about Tantra with Taomi. Now on to our next segment. We're now on to the interview itself, which is our Fuck It segment. And we have a very special guest. Akua, why don't you introduce this lovely, lovely person?
I am so excited to introduce our guest today, Glamazon Taomi. And Glamazon Taomi, pronouns she and her, is a well-versed sex educator who, as we said prior to beginning, whose resume is stacked.
I thought you were going to say has a husband. I was like, that's what we were just now talking about. But yeah, also the stacked resume. Just a good life.
Yes, accomplishments, okay? Taomi is a former model appearing on Cycle 14 of America's Next Top Model, which aired in 2010, who's turned into a renowned sex educator, pleasure and intimacy coach, and tantric specialist. Taomi is the creator of the blog and the YouTube channel Glamerotica 101, where her videos continue to rake in millions of views.
Yes. Were you on WeTV? Was somebody watching your video?
Well, she wasn't watching. We were actually doing like a live session together.
I keep seeing it in clips, and I'm like, that Taomi?
Yes. That was such a random occurrence, but it was a holy encounter because I needed her. Like, she gave me such a good boost. She was one of my clients in my Radam Cowgirl course over the summer, and just turned out she was on that show. And she's like, I want you to be a part of my storyline. So it's nice to work with people. I mean, on top of that, she's was also a virgin at the time, so that was like really nice to work with her. So shouts out to Megan.
The bio goes on. The resume continues to stack.
She's the creator of hashtag Titty Tuesday
and a blessing.
And the creator for Collars for Fashion, which launched at Exotica. She has extended her knowledge and her sexpertise through all media forms, including television, where she was a resident sexpert on Comedy Central's Tosh.0, through press as a writer on multiple forums, including but not limited to Ebony and The Guardian UK, and via radio as a former Playboy radio host, and through her appearances as a guest and a sexpert on various radio shows and podcasts like ours. Yes. Welcome, Taomi.
Hello, ladies.
This is amazing. I feel like you've just been everywhere for the past couple of years.
Yep, and I'm going to be more places,
too. 2019.
Yes, for the culture.
Well, speaking of 2019, so we're recording this pretty close to the end of the year, and this is probably going to air like a week or two into the new year. So somebody who's listening to this, who just needs like a rush of life, like how do I get my sex life together in the 2019, what tips would you give to them?
First and foremost, do your research. There are a lot of sex bloggers. Yes. There are a lot of sex educators, sex experts, and people who pretty much have dedicated their lives to sex education. So anything you need to know about sexuality, you can reach out to those people and invest in your education. The reason why people are not having the pleasurable experiences that they want and having orgasms regularly is a few things. The I would say the top three are a lack of education, a lack of sensation, and a lack of awareness. Invest in your sex education. Mm-hmm. There are a myriad of sexual help and sexual health books on the market that you can look up on Amazon.com. And then you have, of course, people who can condense those books down into like little sessions and, you know, lessons and stuff. So I always advocate, like, invest in your education. There's so many people who are willing to teach, and then be willing to explore and know that your sexuality is fluid. So just because you liked something last year does not mean you're going to be attracted to it in the new year. Mm. There may be new things that you get turned on to. Just like you might be in passing somewhere or on a message board somewhere and someone mentions something and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then you go down that rabbit hole, search online, and now you're like,
now I'm pegging every Tuesday.
Exactly. Pegging every Tuesday. Right. That's what I'm saying. So be open to experience new things and know that your sexuality is fluid. It's going to change, and allow those changes to happen and just enjoy. Enjoy the experience of exploration and discovering something new.
Mm, I love that.
Yes.
We're going to get this 2019 together.
Yes. I want everybody to have the most juicy
yes.
orgasms, yes. like a pleasure-filled life. Like everything in your life, every day there should be something that just makes you feel good.
Mm,
you know, mm-hmm. that's medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, pleasure is medicine. That's what we believe.
Well, speaking of which, like, obviously pleasure means a lot to you and you want to impart that on other people or help other people connect mm-hmm. with pleasurable things in their lives. So you're a pleasure coach,
yes.
a sex expert, and a tantrika? Is that
yes.
how I pronounce it?
Yes.
How did you get started on this very, very sex positive path?
Well, and let me see. So around the time when America's Next Top Model aired, like everything was going pretty good. But then my dad, as wise of a man as he is, mm-hmm. pulled me to the side and he's like, you know, you're doing very well. I'm happy for you. Your career is going great as a model, but you are such a talented writer. You should really use your writing for something. I don't mm-hmm. care what you write about. Mm-hmm. Just don't waste that talent. He was like, I guarantee you, you'll get everything you want if you use your writing.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I just got it into my head, like, okay, I need to start a blog. Because blogging was like the shit at that
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt, who was a writer, RIP Nicole, she encouraged me to write a blog. Like, she printed out this manual, like, blogging 101. Like, this was like when blogs were just kind of like coming out. And so it was changing the entire, like, journalism scene and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, what can I talk about every day that I won't get tired of and I know a lot about? And I was like, oh, sex. And so I started doing research
mm-hmm.
just to see who was out there that was my age and Black and female and was really, like, pushing the culture forward, because what I saw was a very whitewashed situation
mm-hmm.
that did not include us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it sucks when you go to Cosmopolitan magazine and you're just, like, trying to flip back to the sex tips because that's the information that you want, but the magazine is not geared towards you as a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking around, and at the time, like around 2009, 2010, I didn't really see like a lot of Black women who were speaking about sex from an informed place that was also empowering. And it wasn't just empowering hoes,
mm-hmm.
which I'm all for, you know, hoe is life. I saw a need that needed to be met, and I said, all right, instead of complaining about, well, I don't have representation, I'll just be the representation.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my blog, glamerotica101.com, September 2011. Labor Day weekend, I was in Atlanta, had my little notebook, wrote out my first 5 blog entries.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, I was like really nervous to start it because at the time people knew me as a model. I was like a socialite in Chicago. I knew a lot of people and I was very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the blog came out, people were like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
this is you writing this? Where did this come from? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was nerve-wracking because I was, like, not even concerned about, like, what people would think about me, but just really that, like, I was putting myself out there because the one thing I had heard a lot of was from people that I would talk to who I consider mentors, some of them. Oh, you know, you think like a white woman. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Because I have a liberated mind about sexuality and I want to share that with people, I think like I'm white. What the fuck does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So I just knew that it would like expose me in a way that I hadn't been before. But to me, I was like, you know, it's not about me. It's about the information and it's about connecting with people with the information in a way that it will matter to them and they can actually integrate it into their lives. Because I had a conversation recently with a friend of mine who's a physician, and he said, you know, there really is not a disparity in how people can receive information about sexuality. It's really that they just don't care. So when it comes to our neighborhood, you know, or our culture, you know, African Americans, it's like there's so much trauma and things that we're carrying around sexuality. And so for me, I'm like, if I can bring sex education to people in a way that's entertaining and still informational, and then it just makes it normal, normalizing it, then I can change the world. So my intentions when I started the blog was not to make money, not to be rich, not to be famous. I was like, I want people to know this. I want to bridge the gap. I want women to be confident and empowered in their sexuality. I want everyone to have as much fun as I'm having exploring my sexuality.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to be the voice for that. I've always wanted to work in media. Mm. Writing is my jam. Mm-hmm. I have a voice. So I was like, let me just get some influence. And then when I have the influence, then I can like move people into this direction of love, because that's what it's all about for me is love. So I started the blog on that premise, and it just took off. Like, the ideas that I had were, they're still in my mind, so simple to me. But just the way that they impact people, I'm like, dang. Like, okay, all right. So I know that this other stuff that I have, these ideas that I have, and bringing information to people is really going to, like, you know, hit people in a place where it's going to help them really shift and grow. So it's nice to see after 7 years of putting in all this work that things are where they are now. And even, like, now my old work from YouTube, people are just finding, and they're like, mind-blowing. I'm like, but that was like 4 years ago me. And you're just now finding me, and I'm not even the same person you saw in that video. But that's amazing to me. I do this for us, you know? I do this for the culture.
That's amazing. So how did you transition from writer to then coaching people and also doing like the YouTube channel?
Well, it's all kind of blended in, so I do it all. So there isn't like I dropped one thing to do another. It's like, what hat am I wearing right now? Because I meet people all the time. I'm very interactive with my social media following. So unlike a lot of people who have big numbers, I'm interacting with people. I'm, you know.
You talk. You talk back.
That's because that's what it's about. Like, I'm a coach at the end of the day. So it's not like I'm some celebrity like Beyonce where I'm singing and I have to like create this allure and have to be put up in a way because I'm a pop star. Like, I actually work with people. So that interaction for me is really important. And with the writing, I used to get up like every single day and blog, just not making money from it, but just putting information out there. And then eventually, because I had such a huge catalog of work, that work landed me the other gigs that I would get, like with Ebony and BlackDoctor.org, because I already had a catalog. And a lot of these publications do not have specialists that are Black and, you know, basically focus on that area of speciality. So I just consider it a blessing, because I know people who have like journalism degrees that can't even get like quote-unquote professional jobs or whatever. And more of us are freelance. I've been a freelance writer for like 10 years. So most of us are freelancing because, I mean, the whole industry, like publishing industry, is shifting, and it's kind of scary, honestly. So that's why I do wear multiple hats, because where people are not going to be reading text as much, they're very engaged in audio. Like, look at how popular ASMR is, and like just like sounds. People are really more like audio stimulated. And then also visually, videos, video content definitely performs better than written content. So for me, I'm like, I want to be a maven of it all. So my company is positioned more so now as a media company, sexual media company. And, you know, just because I want our community specifically to see examples of us like in intimacy and having written pieces that are coming from our voice and not just like other people that can't relate to us. So this now is more than just like me, because I'm planning to bring in more people who want the exposure so that they can help just like grow my brand and also get the information out here. I want people to realize, like, when you are sexually active, you do have responsibilities. And if you want your sex life to be pleasurable, there are certain things that you have to learn, unlearn, and then relearn. Yeah. So
You out here changing the world.
Yes, I am. One post at a time.
I really can't wait for what Tyomi brings to 2019.
Oh, Mom, a lot.
We cannot wait. So one of the kind of driving things that we wanted to focus on in this conversation is your work as a tantrika and also as a pleasure coach.
Oh, yes.
So which came first?
Pleasure coaching.
Okay.
For me, it was important to, like, I guess, differentiate between the other people who are marketing themselves as, mm-hmm. you know, sex experts, because it's a very broad term. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be kind of specific about what it is that I do. And I'm all about pleasure. And it's not just sexual.
Yeah.
Because some people just don't even know how to recognize pleasure in anything that they're doing. So helping people to derive pleasure out of every aspect of their life, from their work, from their relationships with their parents, from their relationship with themselves. Like, the work that I end up doing with a lot of people when they do work with me one-on-one is so deep. It's deeper than sex, because whatever they're experiencing in their sex life is really just like a symptom. So if you're experiencing mm-hmm. low libido or erectile dysfunction, or you're not having an orgasm, it's a symptom. Mm-hmm. All of those things are symptoms of something else that's going on that's impacting your ability to really be present and aware in your body. Mm-hmm. So again, lack of sensation, right? Because of lack of awareness. So there's something that's being blocked. So yeah. It always ends up me going deeper and having to uncover and help them really eradicate and kind of just like use alchemy to transform this energy so that they can like be present and aware in their bodies enough to have the orgasmic experiences that they want. Mm. So it always ends up being more than just, oh, I can't orgasm. Mm-hmm. You know, once mm-hmm. we start talking, we go through the intake form. There's always some history of abuse or some type of traumatic experience. A traumatic experience doesn't have to be like you being violently raped. It could be somebody shaming you mm-hmm. for whatever it is that you have an attraction to. And mm-hmm. That freezes you in time, you mm-hmm. know, and so that becomes a block. Now, that's where the tantra work comes in, mm-hmm. because I use authentic tantra as a tool, because it's a somatic healing modality. Somatic meaning of the body. Mm-hmm. So we use Tibetan sexual tantra along with Tibetan Buddhism and then somatic healing practices in order to help people move through those blocks. So when people do come to me now that I have these tools, I am able to teach them things that they can use for the rest of their lives. So a lot of people like to try to put a Band-Aid over things. Mm-hmm. So they'll ask like, oh, I can't orgasm. Like, is there a toy I can use? You know, mm-hmm. oh, I have erectile dysfunction. Is there a pill I can pop?
Very solution focused.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they want it to be like something that's instantaneous. And they know, oh, I can just do this one thing, this one move, this one word, and it's going to work and it's going to fix everything. And I'm like, there is no such thing.
Nothing in life is
nothing
like
in
that.
Life is like that. Especially
even
your sex life.
Antibiotics, you got to take it for 7 days.
Exactly.
At least.
Like, exactly. So people really have these unrealistic expectations about their sexuality and how it works and like how you're healed through things, because people don't even realize they're traumatized. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you'll ask somebody, oh, how's your childhood? Oh, you know, it was perfect. It was fine. You
it was
know,
great.
Or, oh, I don't want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Even, you know, so it's just one of those things where I just have this quality about me. People have always just like opened up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be minding my business, sitting on the bus, like listening to my jams. And then somebody's like trying to get my attention. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Is that a blessing and a curse?
You
or?
Know what? I have learned to just let God use me for mm-hmm. his will, because I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, clearly this person needs me in this moment. Mm-hmm. And because I was jamming, minding my business, and I'm deciding to engage them. So let me, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And then now the rest of my ride is yoked up by this person just literally spilling their guts to me. And I'm just taking it, and also just holding space, because that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, you hold space for a person to just pour out what they need to and then send the love back. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was younger, it was like hard to deal with. But now that I have training, it's like, all right, I understand what that is now. It's we call it a holy encounter or a healing encounter.
Okay.
And we have, and they're all relationships are teacher learning experiences. This is what A Course in Miracles teaches. And that's the doctrine that my husband and I, we have a church, Real Love Church.
Mm-hmm. RealLoveChurch.org. That's beautiful.
Yes, our church is centered around the doctrine of A Course in Miracles, which is a spiritual text. So it's not like religious based. Mm-hmm. But anytime you encounter somebody, it's a teacher learning experience. So mm-hmm. you're literally learning something from them. They're learning something from you. You're mm-hmm. teaching them something, and they're teaching you something. Mm-hmm. No matter if it's a child bumping into you, or somebody tripping in front of you, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Every single last experience is not by chance, and it's a teacher learning experience. Mm-hmm. So because I have that training from studying A Course in Miracles, now it doesn't bother me when somebody sits next to me and they're like, you know what? You're beautiful. And da da da. And then my wife this. And da da da. I'm like, because I understand that it's purposeful. God sent that person for a reason.
Mm-hmm. So you're very spiritual. Mm-hmm. Were you always very? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So did that influence your shift towards Tantra? And I also want to talk about, like, what is the definitive, if there is one, definition of Tantra? Because when I used to think about it, at first I was just like, that's some slow, nasty sex.
Everybody
and,
does.
And then afterwards, there was this thing with Barney that we talked about earlier this year.
Yeah, the actor that played the childhood character, Barney, he opened up a tantric massage parlor.
Yes. Oh, yes. My God. And he was in the news, and people thought, like, it was a scheme so that he could just, like, raw have sex with people, because he also wasn't having sex with men, right?
Yeah, most of his clients were women or women with vaginas, and he was having
unprotected.
Thank you, unprotected penetrative sex with these women as a part of his tantric
session.
And then after that, we were just like, "What is tantra? That's why we wanted to talk.
What is happening? What is this? Is this okay? Because it didn't sound okay.
It didn't sound okay, and we were just confused.
Yeah, no, that's not okay. My mentor and I have been talking about this all year, and she talks about it all the time on social media, how the tantra community is under fire right now because there are people who have been basically committing sexual assault under the name Barney, right? Under the name of Barney and Tantra, you know? So, yeah, that's not Tantra. You don't ever need to have sex with your clients in order to teach them Tantra. And honestly speaking, what the West would consider to be tantric massage is really what my mentor calls a hand job with incense or playing with the clit. Because, like,
a happy ending.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, because, and there's a lot of forms of tantra out there. There's neo-tantra, which is what a lot of people here practice. And the thing is, tantra is a spiritual practice. That's the definition of tantra.
Okay.
Tantra is a spiritual practice. And what makes it sexual is the fact that we use sexual energy to heal ourselves. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have sex with your practitioner to learn these techniques. So a lot of the forms of tantra that are taught in the West don't have a lineage. Tantra is a spiritual practice. It started in India. Mm-hmm. And then it went, and it's like literally a religion. Mm-hmm. It is a form of a religion. It's a spiritual yoga. So you have to actually practice it.
Yeah.
And included in that has always been meditation and then certain asanas, certain, you know, body movements, breathing techniques, certain ways that you eat and all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Went from India, traveled to China, and then ended up in Tibet. Mm-hmm. So the form of tantra that I practice is from the Shek Pakagyu lineage, and it's authentic tantra. And why it's called authentic tantra is because it's a blend of the Tibetan sexual tantra and then somatic healing practices from the West. Mm-hmm. And it's a modality created by a Black woman. Shout out to her.
Yes.
Debbie Ward Erickson, my mentor. And what led me to it is, I mean, I've always been a spiritual person. I've always been more in tune with my spiritual self. And I've always known that I wanted to do tantra. And just like you and everybody else in the world, I've always seen, like, tantra coming from different sources. Every source always said something different. Mm-hmm. And I've been searching for a long time for a teacher in tantra. Mm-hmm. And going back to the whole Barney situation, that stuff like that is what has always made me apprehensive about bringing on a male teacher as my, like, guru for tantra. Mm-hmm. Because of the idea that they could abuse their power as, you know, this tantric healer.
Yeah.
So having a female tantrika as my teacher and practicing a lineage that was passed down by women matters to me. And then that she is a Black woman and she's practicing this. She's been practicing Tibetan Buddhism for 20 years. I mean, this is a spiritual practice. So this is like her religion.
Yeah.
And so in turn, in being a tantrika, this is like a religion for me too. So it's a very deep healing practice. We use sexual energy in our modality of authentic tantra has four pillars: meditation, pleasure, movement, and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use those four pillars. We always say you meditate before you masturbate. We teach people how to meditate to become embodied and to connect with themselves and then to use their energy to remove the blocks so that then you can be present. So then when you masturbate, you're not focused on an outcome of coming. You're not focused on whatever you're trying to escape through masturbation. You're literally present with your body, and you're aware of the nuances of pleasure and arousal that's happening as you're going up the scale. We look at pleasure like a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people just want to focus on, okay, I'm resting. Okay, now I'm horny. I want to get to 10 as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Without recognizing that there's so much that the body goes through between 2 and 10.
Which is also enjoyable, right? Like, and you should experience that pleasure.
Very. So for us, this is the goal of Tantra. Present awareness. This is what we're teaching people, is present awareness. So it's a spiritual practice. People think about Tantra and they think sex automatically.
Yeah.
The deepest sex you can think of. And I'm going to tell you something. Tantric sex can be slow and it can be fast too. And it's all about conscious awareness and presence. And there's, you know, breathing. People don't even breathe during sex normally. People are holding their breath most of the time.
Yeah.
And that creates a toxic, anxious environment for the body. And you're like telling your other organs, like, I'm starving you of oxygen right now. So your body's like, well, I can't send blood to your clit. I need your heart to keep beating because you're not breathing, you know? So it's amazing how even just teaching people just one element, because there's a plethora of tools that we have to use at our disposal with authentic Tantra, but it could be one thing that a person learned. It could be one meditation. And they're like, that's all I need.
You've already helped me. I'm already like reflecting on last night, honestly. I'm like, I was trying to get to 10 pretty fast.
Yep. Yep. Because we're rushing through it. And when you think about it, it's like our traditional programming when it comes to sexuality is pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is cut and spliced. And you hear them going, you know, like doing all of that, it's a lot. Like I just almost took myself out hyperventilating doing that. But it's, you know, they got to play up the dramatics and the breath so you can hear it on, you know,
on screen. Entertainment, not
it's entertainment. And so because we don't have enough expressions of reality, even in the films that you see in the theaters, like the sex is like, what the fuck, yo?
Yeah.
Dry and short. And even if it's like rated R, it's still just like dry and short. And so because we don't have enough like realistic examples of what sex really looks like, everybody's just winging it. You know, everybody's just doing what felt the most pleasurable the last time they did it. And people don't even realize just a simple switch of a few things like communication, breathing, your positioning, and even just your focus, like your intention. Mm-hmm. If your intention is, we both gotta come, then you're stressing yourself out.
It's so much pressure.
Exactly.
It's so much pressure.
But if you change it up and say, you know what? We're just going to focus on feeling good right now. No matter how we do that.
Yeah.
And even playing a game with it, like, I just want to see how good I can make you feel using this sock. Like, interesting. People lack erotic imagination.
Creativity.
Yes. And creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I'm working on. I'm working on a book, my first book.
Yay.
Planning to launch it February. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day.
Oh, be ready.
But, you know, I just want people to think. Most people think that sex is just like, all right, penis and vagina or penis and asshole. You know, some people don't think that oral sex is sex. I'm like, this is sex, yo. You know, but it can be so much more than just that. You can role play. You can switch up positions. You can switch up locations. You can switch personalities all together, or even genders. I mean, there's so much that you can do, and people just have to allow themselves to be open to explore. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It sounds so lovely.
Oh, yes,
I'm so excited to like continue this interview, but then also go and read and learn more about Tantra after this interview.
Yes, go to AuthenticTantra.com.
Okay.
And you can find out all the information about our modality, and it'll give you a clear-cut idea of what Tantra really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything.
Not Barney.
Definitely not Barney. And when I say this is a modality founded by a woman, and so many female tantricas that have, you know, received the information, and now we're out here in the world like practicing it. It's about us first.
Akua, you had a question regarding that, like women in Tantra?
And all the digging that I was doing, it seemed that Tantra was being sold or marketed to women. Mm-hmm. So like I was like watching YouTube videos of like Tantra gurus, and a lot of it was like yoni and women, like just very female centered. Mm-hmm. And I want to know why that was.
I think because women are an easy market to target. Women will spend their money much more quickly, especially on things that are self-help focused. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to, as a man who has picked up this information from somewhere, to market that to women, as you know, opposed to being a man trying to market to men, because Tantra is for men too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we teach men how to retain their semen. We teach men how to last longer. We teach men how to become multi-orgasmic, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Because, cis men.
Yes. If you are a person with a penis, okay, Tantra is for you too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even if you are a person that takes on the gender of a man, mm-hmm, if you still have female body parts, mm-hmm, you're still multi-orgasmic. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, like, so, and one thing that we're still experimenting with more, or wanting to have more experience with, is with trans bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of what we're learning is focused on like male body, female body, and we do work with, you know, yin and yang energy as, yeah, well. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting to have, for me personally, more trans clients, because, you know, you're still carrying trauma too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you do to your body on the outside. Energetically, your energy body is still holding on to trauma that needs to be, mm-hmm, released, so you can have, you know, your that connection back between your relative self, your physical body, and your infinite self, mm-hmm, which is your energy body. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing with Tantra, mm-hmm, is bringing that connection back, mm-hmm, together.
So how does that play out? And it seems like it can play out a number of different ways, mm-hmm, during any like sexual session. Would it be called a Tantra session?
So you mean like with a person?
If you're practicing tantric sex with another person?
Yeah, so you can practice Tantra sexually and non-sexually, and, mm-hmm, you can practice Tantra with a partner, or you can practice it solo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're doing it with a partner, like for example, when you had said meditation before masturbation, mm-hmm, would that be two people who are about to have sex coming together and meditating and, yep, like setting intentions on it?
Yep.
Like, how do you facilitate that?
So, you know, if I have a session with somebody, which in 2019, I'm definitely going to be having more sessions.
Okay.
With couples and individuals. People just have to be ready, though, because, mm-hmm, again.
So you're there as a facilitator, mm-hmm, in the physical space.
I can be, or, mm-hmm, we can do it online. Uh-huh. Being in person is so much more impactful, though, because, mm-hmm, you get to feel my energy. And we start out by meditating together, which, when you follow my breath, it basically syncs everyone in the room together to the highest frequency. Mm. And then we can start.
What do you mean when you say highest frequency?
The highest mental frequency, okay, mm-hmm, and heart frequency. Mm-hmm. So us literally being connected, mind, body, and spirit, like one breath.
Okay.
Kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. And so it just all depends on what a person wants to know, because there is a lot to know. But we always start with meditation. And so I go into theory about the types of meditations that we do, why they're important. But people have to be ready, because this is, again, a healing modality. And the meditations that we use are potent medicine, and they unearth things that could be ancient, either from this lifetime or past lifetimes. But it's trauma that, mm, you know, you're carrying in any of the energy centers. But I always start with the sex chakra first. Mm-hmm. Start with the sex chakra, because it's fire element energy, and that energy can blow through anything. So, mm-hmm, you basically cultivate that energy to warm up your energy body, and it can help blow through blocks and pretty much like get your energy body prepared to remove anything, like any blocks or anything that's impeding that, mm-hmm, connection between your infinite and relative self. So this is, a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
This is not something to take lightly, and this is not something to look at as just like, oh, I just want to fuck better.
Yeah.
Listen, a byproduct of practicing Tantra is a healthy, vibrant, pleasurable, juicy sex life. Mm-hmm. And you have to be ready and willing to do the work,
yeah,
in order to get to that point, either with yourself solo or with a partner or even both.
So what is the unearthing look like? Like, if you're in a session with a couple and like you say, like these things could come up and it could be traumatic,
mm-hmm,
how do you facilitate that?
So it looks different. I mean, sometimes it could be they don't have any response when they're with me but then they can go home and something comes up and it's you know, triggered. Mm-hmm. Because trauma leaves the body the way it went in. So you go from having like no feelings at all, numbness, right? To then pain. So you're going to go back through the pain that you experienced with that trauma. Then irritation. So it's kind of like, I describe this process of healing trauma as like when you sit on your leg for too long and your foot falls asleep. Mm-hmm. So as soon, it's numb now. Mm-hmm. You realize that. So then as soon as you release your leg, it hurts to try to step on it. And then it starts to tingle. It's all, you know, it's coming back to life. And then it's restored to its full functioning. You can wiggle your toes. You can stand on it without feeling like you're going to die. That's literally the process of healing trauma, because after you get through the irritation, then it's back to your full functioning. So some people will say, I can't feel anything when I'm having sex. It's because you have no sensation there, probably because energetically you have a block. So whatever that block is, it could be a number of things, but we hold a lot of trauma in our pelvises. Mm-hmm. So we do this fire element meditation. You could be in the office with me and be fine, and then all of a sudden, images of something from the past pops up that was traumatic. Yeah. And then you just don't know why you're seeing that, but that's literally the trauma coming up to be healed. So when I do see a person going into a space or like a trauma crisis, then I use certain tools to help keep them in the present mm-hmm. and to help them move through that, because it's coming up to leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the thing is like, once you do the work, once you heal it, it's not going to come back. Mm-hmm. That's the part that I'm the most happiest about. And I've gone through it. That's the thing. I'm not just teaching this stuff like from a book that I read. No, I had to actually do the practice. Yeah. 500 hours of shamanic practice I've had to do. Uh-huh. So I've had to face my own demons. That's what I call them. Like traumas you're holding on to, demons, whatever you want to call it. But it's stuff that's not a part of you. And it does, when you do this work, it's not going to want to be a part of you anymore, because not only are you cultivating your energy, but you're also building good merit by doing these tantra practices. And then we always dedicate our merit to everyone. So we do our practices for the embetterment of the entire existence, not just ourselves. Mm. Because in our meditations, we send the energy out from our body and then we bring it back in.
So like, so it's a cosmic, washing it out and putting it back.
Yeah, it's like you're going out and you're gathering all of the resources from the infinite universe, and you're bringing it back into yourself, and you're using that energy to blow through things in your energy body. Mm-hmm. It is deep.
Yes, I was about to say
and
that.
And this is not. We use sexual practices to help, along with that energy, to help deepen your awareness and to blow through the block. So you could be, you know, going through a tantric masturbation session and you're fucking crying like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on, but it feels so good. And so you're doing your breaths and everything, and you're doing your strokes, and you're crying, and you're seeing images and things like that. And you know that it's literally just things being released. Yeah. And then some people are like, oh my gosh, I've had the first orgasm I ever had in my life. Or my partner and I orgasm for the first time together. Mm-hmm. Or, wow, I feel like 10 tons was just lifted off of my shoulders because I let all this stuff go in this session. So with like, for instance, we do tantra. In tantra, we use yoni massage and we use lingam massage. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Barneys out there, they perform these, but they have no tantra in it. They're calling it tantric touch. And literally, there is no lineage behind it. Mm-hmm. So what? Like, how is this healing? Mm-hmm. It's not. You're just calling it that. Mm-hmm. When we, with authentic tantra, when we perform yoni and lingam massages, we are literally using our tantric meditations throughout the entire thing, visualization of different lights depending on what chakra we want to focus on. Mm-hmm. So it's the intention and also certain mantras and visualizations that we use in tandem with the physical touch, because again, it's a somatic healing practice. Mm-hmm. So we're running energy through our bodies to our clients' bodies. And then we teach people how to do this on themselves or with each other. So even in doing the demos and stuff, I never have to touch a person. Mm-hmm. We use models and all of that. So, you know, it's never, ever, ever, ever necessary.
Yeah.
for a person to be involved in like sexual activity of any kind to learn Tantra. And even if we are using someone as a model or performing on a client, it's about the healing. It's not about like trying to get someone off, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. And can you clarify what yoni and lingam means for people who might not know?
So yoni and lingam are sacred words. Yoni is used to describe the female genitalia. Mm-hmm. So the vulva, including the vagina. Mm-hmm. And then lingam is the sacred word for penis or dick or whatever you want to call it. I think in Sanskrit, it means like precious rod or something like that. Mm-hmm. But basically, the sacred language that's used in Tantra to describe sex acts and sexual parts is to bring more like spirituality and sacredness to the art of like making love versus just using like crass words of like, you know, euphemisms that try to mask, you know, what it is, or like straight, like clinical, sterile medical jargon, you know. Using the sacred words really just brings another like spiritual awareness to it. And it helps to heal our perception of our genitals, because a lot of us are very disconnected from our genitals.
Either it's like this dirty, nasty thing, or it's just like, this is a vagina.
I mean, I've been like literally developing a new relationship with my yoni for the last 3 years. Because like there was one point where I hated pubic hair. And it really was because when I started growing pubic hair, I was like, oh, no, I'm not a child anymore. I'm not a kid anymore. Mm-hmm. This sucks. I don't want to be a woman. So I used to strip my hair out of just like hate.
Yeah.
Really, for being an adult. And then it just kind of turned around for me 1 year when I realized that like pubic hair has a purpose. And just developing a relationship with my yoni. Over the years, because we don't even realize how disconnected we are. I mean, there are some women who are like in their 40s and they've had children and everything and have never seen it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand, but
I'd be looking at that girl
every day.
Just for fun.
Just to make sure she's all right. You know, you gotta check.
You have to check.
Between these thighs, you have to make sure that she's okay. She's suffocating half the time. I have to make sure you're all right.
Because men, they're just hanging out their body. They can see it. And then
check on that thing every day.
Every time they pee.
Exactly.
When they're walking,
it swings. They're like, okay, you're there.
He good. Or she good. Whatever you know, pronouns you want to use for your lingam.
Yes, I love how you incorporated the lingam. Yes.
So I have a question. If someone is kind of like going down this path of Tantra and they're a sexual being and they're either with one partner or multiple partners who is not also going down that path, can they incorporate Tantra in their sexual practice without?
Absolutely.
Should they let the partner know?
I would suggest that they do let their partners know, because the energy that we use is very powerful. So even if you're running Tantra silently, which I am most of the time, people can feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And so if you're using it in tandem with sex, you can blow people out.
Mm-hmm.
Like physically, you may not see anything, but energetically,
they
can feel that and they can be messed up. So you do want to let your partner know, especially if you are a person who has taken Tantra sincerely and you're practicing regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Your energy just becomes extremely potent.
Mm-hmm.
It gets stronger and stronger. So if you're practicing regularly and then you're having sex with people, even if you're not intentionally trying to run Tantra, it's a part
it's
of you.
It's flowing out of you.
Yep, it's a part of you. So you do want to let your partners know, like, you know, I'm going to be running some Tantra right now. So if you feel something, you know, just... And then the goal, though, is to teach your partners, because you want to have like evenly yoked experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a tantrika as a woman and then your man can't last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Yeah. Like, well, that's one thing that we teach is, you know, how to last longer and how to become multi-orgasmic for men, for male bodies. And one of the reasons why a lot of heterosexual cisgender women who are having sex with men are not having orgasms is because there's a time disparity between when male bodies and female bodies are prepared for sex.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, there's this whole like rule of thumb, like, oh, if it's wet, then she's ready. It's like, well, you know, vaginas are wet all the time. Like, you know, that's the internal environment of a vagina. It has to be moist. It's a mucous membrane. Like, come on, bro. And so it's going to have secretions and discharge like all day, every day, you know, and it changes as you go through your ovulation cycle. I mean, any woman who has a vagina she was born with and had a great educator knows this, because not every woman knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And so men Healthy men can experience erections in a matter of seconds. The female body also has erectile tissue, but it does not engorge as fast as the male tissue does. Mm-hmm. It takes like at least 20 minutes, 20 to 45. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of tissue. Mm-hmm. The entire vulva blossoms and becomes juicy and fat and sensitive because it's all erectile tissue.
Yeah.
The anus, the perineum, everything, it changes. But there is not enough time between, oh, baby, I'm horny, come suck my dick. Well, I'm hard now, let me put it in. Like, that's like 3-4 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like those 3 to 4 minutes even focus on getting the female body prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know what foreplay is. They think it's oral sex. And I'm like, that's not foreplay. That's oral sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just because she has an orgasm from direct glands stimulation, because the clitoris is more than just the glands. It's a whole internal network that wraps around the urethra and the vagina.
That wishbone leg.
You got to stimulate those legs, and you can massage those legs.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach that. We teach that with yoni massage. You know what I mean? So for men who want to be ultimate lovers, for female partners, even women who want to be ultimate lovers.
Yeah.
And I feel like female-on-female relationships with Tantra could be such a beautiful display.
That sounds like explosions.
It does.
Because when queer people talk about having sex already, you know, when lesbians talk about having sex already, you're like, you don't even know what you're in for.
You know?
With Tantra, they might blow the whole city up. I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. I don't need that.
Yes.
Keep y'all sex energies to yourselves. Blow it through yourself. Blow it to me.
I just got inspired.
It just explodes.
And don't be the blue sky.
Bushwick ain't there no more than the blue sky. That's what happens.
That's what happened.
Y'all stupid, blue sky.
Two lesbians discovered Tantra, and that was it.
That was working on a water chakra.
And that was
in
it.
In the head, and it just blew up. Dang, that's funny. Oh my goodness.
That was it. That sounds absolutely amazing, and you definitely dropped some gems in that.
Yes.
The disparity between when people are prepared, you know, for sex and the importance of foreplay.
It's really sad.
Live by those words, don't we?
Yes.
We live by those words.
I guess, like, from there, it's kind of just like a lot of cisgender heterosexual men don't care, though.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
So what is, like, as a tantrika, what does outreach look like? Like,
well, I'm definitely going to be doing a series of free webinars that teaches theory.
Mm-hmm.
But the tools, you got to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can teach you theory. I can teach you the outcome, what the outcome of using these tools will do.
Yeah.
And then explain to you why they work and then why you need to use them. Mm-hmm. And then entice you with, so if you want these tools, then you got to, you know, that's my goal. So outreach looks like some free webinars to give out information. And then for the people that are interested in really delving deeper, then you can take part in coaching with me, because this is not something that, A, you can just do by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a professional working with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go and you pick up books by Mantak Chia, which a lot of men have been doing, because who've been interested in like Tantra and the Tao and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the front of those books, it always says, do not practice this without consulting a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you're playing with energy.
Yeah.
And even if you don't believe it's real and you do what it says in the book, you're going to feel that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to work with somebody professional. And then doing more in-person events. So I'm literally finalizing my tour schedule, which by the time people hear this, it will be out and available online.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Yay.
You gonna be in New York? Can
of
we
course.
Go?
Okay. Of course. Of course.
Cool.
I'll be teaching in Tribeca, you know?
Cool.
So I'm calling it Tantra Activation, because it's basically like bringing the basics to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to figure out if I want to separate and do like all female and all male, if I want to do co-ed, if I want to do couples and singles, or just couples. It's so much to think about.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have the rest of my life to teach this stuff, so whatever.
Cool.
It's just the beginning.
I can't wait to come.
Would you be able to go over those four pillars again?
Mm-hmm.
It was meditation, movement, connection, and
pleasure.
Okay.
And that's one of the differences between like our modality of Tantra and others, is that we actually do use pleasure as medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Because pleasure is like, it's basically lubrication for the purification process. So remember I said, you know, you're releasing trauma is the purification process.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit's a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So we use pleasure to lubricate that process. So like I said, you could be masturbating you know, in your tantric masturbation session, yeah. and shit's coming up and thoughts and you're crying and stuff, but you're remembering your practice, you're breathing, you're doing your strokes, and you're communicating with, you know, yourself, or if a partner's doing it for you, you're communicating with them. And if they're a great partner and they have integrated the tools they've learned in sessions with me, then they're going to integrate the communication tools to help you move through that trauma being released. And we even have tools for that, like how to deal with trauma that's coming up and how to release that. Mm-hmm. Because, again, they're like demons. You got to speak to them. Like, what do you need? Mm-hmm. What do you need?
Why are you still here?
Yeah, why? You know, what do you need to leave? Because that's what they're going to do anyway. Yeah. So pleasure as lubricant for the purification process. People who are ready, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. And it's a community of us. Mm-hmm. So even if we run into things that we're like, we don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
Then we have a whole community of tantricas to reach out to mm-hmm. for support.
That's mm-hmm. lovely. How yes. did you find your mentor?
Oh, my God. Through a retreat in Atlanta.
Ooh.
And she's literally a soulmate of Aww. Mine. Like, so my friends, Brian and Karen Craig, shout out to them. Hey. They throw amazing retreats down in Atlanta. And they invited me to teach. And I was like, all right, yeah, sure. Why not? I'm trying to, you know, spread my wings and do different things. And so we had to meet in the airport, and we had to meet her to all carpool to the house for the mm-hmm. retreat. And when she came around the corner, I'm looking at her, I'm like, man, she looks familiar. Like, not like I saw her like online or something like that, because I saw her picture mm-hmm. on like the retreat website. Mm-hmm. But something about her just felt so familiar. Like we had like a close bond or something from a past life, and we just instantly clicked and gelled. And she is somebody I love dearly. Like, oh my God, when I found her, I was like, oh, this is my teacher right here. I felt it. Because, like, we had like a meeting with all the practitioners and people who were going to be teaching the night before the retreat started. And we just like were cuddled up next to each other. And I'm like, and then I smell like this muskiness. And I thought it was me. I was like, man, I have been traveling. I need to take a shower. And then she leans over. She's like, yeah, I got to take a shower. I'm a little musky. I was like, you smell like me. And so I was like, wow. Like we just gelled. And so I knew I found my teacher. And so I didn't go into the training the year after I met her because I didn't feel ready. Mm-hmm. But 2018, I was like, yeah. So I met her in 2016. Mm-hmm. Which was a very transformative year for me. So I felt like she was like the cherry on top of a great year. Mm-hmm. And just to have somebody who's so brilliant and who's so dedicated to healing people, that, I mean, it's just beautiful to me. I love people who are committed to love. Mm-hmm. And she is about that and about healing herself through the work too, because unhealed healers cannot heal.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do the work.
Mm-hmm. So I assume finding a mentor is the first step. Is there like a certification for this? Like what?
Yeah,
what
I am certified.
Okay.
I am a certified authentic tantra practitioner. So we get our certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, I'm also a certified sexologist through the College of Sexology, American College of Sexologists.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's a certification and you have to earn it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, even though her and I are close, mm-hmm. it wasn't like she gave me any passes or did any favors for me. I had to earn that certification just like everybody else. And this class of 2018 was a very powerful class of healers and shamans. Everybody had a different power. Literally, I feel like I'm part of the X-Men because literally I've never met so many people with gifts at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single last person was a shaman and had a different intuition or a different gift. I mean, the first, because we had two retreats. So mm-hmm. the first retreat was like a summer retreat where we had to pretty much, we were integrating all the things that we were learning up until that point. And that was my first time doing certain practices. And literally, I performed what's called like soul retrievals. So literally, you help people retrieve parts of their souls that have been like frozen and locked in time. And I did that twice for two different people. And I was just like, you know, didn't know I could do all of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so I left from that retreat feeling very, very powerful and very empowered. And it really let me know, like, damn, this is not anything to play with. Like, mm-hmm. this is some real stuff. Mm-hmm. To the point where one of the people one of my classmates, because I did some work on her. Her life has forever been changed because of what I was able to do for her energetically. And this is somebody who has suffered a lot of abuse through her life. And literally, I was able to help her reclaim a part of herself where now she feels like she's whole and can like move into a completely new direction in her life. And so I feel like we're forever going to be bonded because I like it got really deep. And really dark at one point, you know? And so as a practitioner, we have to hold space for stuff like that. And not every practitioner can hold the same amount of space. So what I'm able to deal with and what I'm able to do, the next practitioner may not have that same capacity, but they still have the tools. Like each and every one of us has like a unique gift in how we, you know, I guess you can say teach and reach people. Mm-hmm. But to know that just these meditations and these breaths and these visualizations and these mantras and these things that we're doing are literally retrieving people's souls. I'm like, shit, this is not a toy. Like, this is real life.
How do you protect yourself within that? Like, if dark, deep things are coming up, does that, like, stick on to you?
No. And I've been doing a lot of shamanic work and, like, metaphysical work for, like, the last 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I've had some very powerful mentors who are, I guess you can call them wizards or warlocks or whatever, but they've taught me how to work with energy and stones and different things that you can use to like cloak yourself and then also cleanse yourself afterwards. I mean, before every session, we sage. Mm-hmm. And we make sure that we set out things in the room because we are dealing with entities sometimes. Mm. Sometimes the blocks people are experiencing are entities and they manifest themselves as disease. Mm-hmm. But it's like negative, nasty little energy bodies that kind of like lash themselves onto you. Mm-hmm. And you control them, though. You tell them where to go. So them latching on, no, because you don't have the permission to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't leap into my body without me being willing and saying, come in, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm not ever going to say that. So it's like I cloak myself, protect myself, and then I have different like protective stones in the room when I'm doing the work. Mm-hmm. And then also we just like put out some like rice and water just to feed the spirits so that they're not so angry. And I mean, after the session that I did, I heard a voice say, I want cake. But it was like a little baby. It was like a little baby voice. Mm-hmm. Because we encountered a child mm-hmm. during our session. And so I didn't even question it. I was like, okay. And I brought a piece of cake. Yeah. And I put it in our room where we did our session. And I put a candle near it. And I gave it permission. Like, here, it's mm-hmm. yours. Mm-hmm. You know, and so this is the type of stuff that people don't even know that yeah. I do. Like, people find me online from whatever source, whether it's, like, my nude pictures online or some sexy video or a tutorial that I've done. And, like I said to you guys earlier, like, people are finding my old work, and it's, like, 4 years ago me. But, like, me now yeah. is so completely evolved from that person mm-hmm. and so much more aware of, like, how energy works and then using that energy to heal people. It's like I have all this stuff I want to teach people, but I know that a lot of people are not ready for the depth mm-hmm. of how deep the medicine goes, because it can get a little scary when you think about having to go back through stuff that you went through that you tried to bury. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you really want true freedom and happiness and pleasure in your life, like deeply profound pleasure, you got to let that stuff go.
Yeah, you got to deal. Mm-hmm. You got to unpack your bags.
Now, if you're mm-hmm. interested in Tantra, and we're not all as lucky as to meet our soulmate at the airport, you know, how do we go about finding a mentor?
Go to AuthenticTantra.com, because all the practitioners are going to be listed there. Mm-hmm. And again, we have a network of people. I mean, there's, again, a plethora of tantric modalities out there. So start with Authentic Tantra and then just continue to explore, because there's a bunch. I mean, there's Hindu Tantra, Taoist Tantra, Tibetan Tantra, Neo Tantra. There are several modalities and several forms. You just have to figure out what's right for you. Kundalini Tantra. Mm-hmm. So many. But start with Authentic Tantra, because we have, again, a lineage that you can go and you can research. Mm-hmm. You see where this stuff has been passed down from. It's like, you know, for anybody who's like a 420er who consumes cannabis, you know, you want to know where your source came from. You don't just want to like buy something from some random dude like, yeah, I got that loud. You don't know what it's been mixed with. So when it comes to Tantra, don't just like, you know, just pass something on the internet and be like, oh, this is it. No, start with authentic Tantra and then work your way out. Because if you start with authentic Tantra and you reach out, somebody can actually reach back to you with an answer. Like if you have some questions about, you know, some Tantra theory that you ran into online and you're kind of like, well, I saw this thing and I just want to know how this compares. Somebody will most definitely get back to you on that, or the website will answer all your questions.
I'm glad that you brought up all those different types of Tantra, because we had a really great question. Is Tantra, or can Tantra be a form of cultural appropriation?
So the Hindu culture has actually been expressive about their distaste for Westerners adapting Tantra. Because again, remember I told you guys earlier, Neo-Tantra is the style that's practiced here in the West primarily. It has no lineage base. It has no spirituality base. And this is why they are upset. So they do see it because it's a lot of white Westerners adopting this Hindu style, but it's not the pure style of Tantra that they've practiced. It's like them taking some elements of Tantra, like mindful presence and meditation, and then mixing in their own like neo-sexual stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they do look at it like it's appropriation of culture. And it is a thing that's going on right now, a constant discussion. Mm-hmm. And even some people who have like temples and like their own, you know, practices have been really coming down on people and sending them like cease and desist, like, you gotta chill. Yeah, seriously. Even with authentic Tantra, you know, in because it is woven with its base is in Tibetan Tantra. So even in like the traditional Tibetan Tantric community, there had to be some discussion about authentic Tantra and its name and, you know, stuff like that. Because, again, these are spiritual practices that have been passed down for generations. Like, this is ancient stuff and it's ancient medicine. That's why it works. Mm-hmm. It's not just some made up. Barney.
We knew that Barney was wild. We knew it.
It didn't smell good. Kind of want to close out the Tantra discussion and ask two more questions.
Sure.
To segue between that discussion and kind of like your personal life, how has being like a tantrika and a pleasure coach and a sex expert affected your personal romantic sexual dating experiences?
It's really affected my entire life, not even just like my romantic and like sexual life. Like, I literally have way more empathy for people and patience.
That's good things to have.
Yo, when I was younger, I had no patience for people. Most definitely would get irritated, like just having to repeat myself. Even just twice. But doing this work over the last 7 years has definitely taught me patience, especially since, like, even building my business, I've had no blueprint. I've had to literally figure it out on my own. And I've come up against a lot of obstacles, more so not like with being Black. Never had an obstacle with that, but more so with just working in sex, period. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you Black, white, Hispanic, whatever.
Yeah.
If you say, I work in the sex industry, prejudice immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of sad. But romantically, I would say that, you know, people who want to date me, specifically men, I should say, men who find me online or they follow me, they have these perceptions of what they think would go down or something. Like, when they meet me and I'm like, no.
What do they think is going to go down?
I guess they just think it's just going to be all this freak shit. And I'm like, negative. Like, just because I do this as a job doesn't mean that I'm actually going to. I hate when they say, oh, they're going to show me some of them sex moves. Like, you know what? You lame. Yeah. Like, we out for drinks and you just killed it. Like, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, you just assume that we're going to get it in because I talk about this every day. Yeah. Like, no, bro. And, in the past, I would say people being intimidated too. But I mean, one thing that I've really learned is that a lot of people connect like love to sex, and it's not the same thing. Mm-mm. Sex can express love, and sex can also express fear and attack. I mean, hashtag me too, you know what I'm saying? So that's one thing I've learned through doing my work. And then, like, I recognize that so many people just use sex as a form of escape or attachment or whatever. Like, it's never really for love's purpose. And through practicing celibacy, which is, like, a really big part of my life, like, it just showed me a lot about myself and then about how much I didn't know about love. And so in doing my work, it led me to that answer, which led me to my husband. And
husband.
My husband.
All right.
We don't know much about him, but we know enough.
We know
he's a husband.
He is the love of my life. Oh, my God. Like, he is a love educator. He's a man of God. He's dedicated his life to love. And we run our church together. And every aspect of my life is pretty much, he has his stamp on it. And I've grown so much in the last, like, 2 years of knowing him. And it's amazing to me just how even in a year, because we're coming on our first year marriage anniversary. Mm-hmm. And just even in, like, a year of being married to somebody, just seeing how much my life has evolved and grown. And I cannot imagine my life without him now. It's like, I can't.
That's beautiful.
And people be like, why'd you choose him? Like, what? I'm like, you know what?
Who the fuck are they? Like, we gotta fight somebody.
Yo, people be so goddamn entitled to certain, like, answers mm-hmm. from me about things. And I'm like, what gives you the right to even ask me why him? Why not him?
Yeah.
A man that is literally dedicated to love and nothing else, who doesn't judge me, who accepts every part of me, has supported me from day one mm-hmm. in all of my dreams, no matter how they turned out. How can I not marry somebody like that? Especially when he asked me to spend the rest of my life with him. Like, you think I'm gonna say no to that? And all he's done is brought goodness into my life ever since I met him, and he's helped improve all of my relationships in my life, not just
again,
the one.
Why
with...
not him?
Exactly.
Like, why not?
Shall I continue? You know, what are you bringing?
Right. Why
besides
you?
Weight, why? Weak dick? Yeah.
Child.
Now that I got the perfect man, I'm looking for a girlfriend now. You know.
Yes.
Just that's a whole nother situation in 2019. I'm like, yes.
Okay. A wife?
I don't know about
okay.
a wife.
Okay. A girlfriend. Okay. I'm trying to say it the same way we say husband.
Girlfriend. You know what? I'm looking to deepen my experiences romantically with women, because they've always been kind of short-lived. Mm-hmm. And just see where it goes, but just experiencing the fullness of that type of an, like, intimate relationship.
Yeah.
And learning. Really. Mm-hmm. And it's just accepting that part of myself, mm-hmm. too, and not, like, having any hard expectations of what it should be, but mm-hmm. just letting it be. So it could be one person, it could be multiple people, whatever, just enjoying 2019,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. really allowing the feminine energy to be attracted to me in that way, because I think I just, like, shut it off
mm-hmm.
for yeah. a little while, and I'm like, yeah. I don't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So.
Accept it into your life.
Yes.
I feel so good right now. I love the energy that you're bringing. Exactly. Okay, so one final question. I don't know if you have any more questions after this, Akua, but so your Instagram page got mm-hmm. shut down a while mm-hmm. ago, and then also your Tumblr page is now Sensitive Media.
Mm-hmm.
What's going, like, how do you, as because you were talking about a little bit before, you touched on, like, the prejudice that comes with being a sexual person.
Mm-hmm.
How has it been? Because you have such a large internet following and you're mm-hmm. in so many spaces.
Ooh, child.
Yeah.
2018 was fucking rocky
yeah.
for all of us. Like, some people got hit harder than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for my Twitter page. Oh, my God. I'm verified, and that's where most of my media comes from. Yeah. So I'm like, shouts out to Twitter mm-hmm. for not being bogus. But, yeah. like, when the Trump administration implemented the anti-sex trafficking laws of SESTA FOSTA, mm-hmm. the language has been so ambiguous that it's kind of looped everything, anything sexual in. So a lot of websites have been shutting down. A lot of websites have been changing their terms of service to basically X out sexual content so that they don't get fined.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it boils down to. And then also, some of us believe that also because so many of us have been making money and they haven't been able to, like, track or tax or whatever, that that's a part of it. But literally, if you are a sex worker, and I mean literally people who do ASMR, non-sexually, mm-hmm. have been targeted. Erotic artists, people who paint or draw mm-hmm. erotic, you know, people who are lingerie models mm-hmm. or sell lingerie, they've mm-hmm. been targeted.
Yeah.
People like my mentor, Erica Luss, who is an erotic cinematographer. Like, mm-hmm. her, she has a page on Instagram. She doesn't put anything like genitals or anything on there. But, I mean, people kissing? What? You're going to block? videos like that. So a string of us have had our pages taken down. Some people have had their pages swiped 3 or 4 times this year. When Instagram shut my page down in February, I was like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to start my own platform. So I have an app coming out next year. It's been in development all year. And it's like the 2.0 version of my blog where it's subscription based. It protects my intellectual property and it allows us to engage in a space where we're not going to get shut down and my content isn't going to be ripped off or taken down.
Yes.
Tumblr, and I'm all about ownership. At this point, like, we don't own these platforms. Mm-hmm. We are holding up residents there. We're basically renting a space. And at any time, if they feel that we have violated their terms of service, they can shut you down without any explanation and not give your page back. And one thing I refuse to do is to beg anybody for my fucking content. Right. You got me all the way fucked up if you think I'm gonna do that. Yeah. So I'm like, create my own platform. Then with Tumblr, literally, I was like, oh, praise God. December came, I was like, ah, yes. No more censorship. Then they fucking dropped that news. December 17th, we're getting rid of all of adult content because somebody uploaded some child pornography there. Got them booted off of the iTunes store, which is a lot of traffic. So the company that recently bought Yahoo, that owns Tumblr, and we're like, we don't want this content here anymore. Yeah. You're going to delete, like, basically 30% of your entire platform for the greater good. It's like, you know, how come you just can't have a sensitive material or over 18 blur like they used to do, you know? Because Tumblr was for it. But because the ownership has switched hands, now they're not. So, like, there's a way for me to go and, like, remove that shit off my page. I just haven't done it yet because I'm like, well, Tumblr was always an afterthought for me. Tumblr was a place I would just throw shit up on. And I went on one day and I realized I had a following there. So I'm not deeply attached to it. And again, this just shows me like ownership is key because in 2019, we don't know what's going to change. We don't know how they're going to try because Facebook already came out with an announcement. You can't even talk about sex on Facebook.
Wait, when did that happen?
You can't even, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
You can't talk about your sexual interest with another person. All sex groups and kink groups, they're shutting them down. So the censorship has gotten even worse. And so that's why for me as an educator, it's been a challenge to determine how am I going to market and express myself online and put my work out there without it being flagged on platforms like Instagram. I don't use Facebook. My Facebook page got hacked in 2017, and I was like, fuck yeah, because they made it very difficult for me to get it back. Like, I can still see the activity on that page.
That is a fucking mess.
It's a clusterfuck.
We're going to shut down all the groups so we can't stop this page that got hacked. Yeah. It doesn't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you create your own.
You do, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with, like, processors, like, PayPal will shut you down.
Yeah.
I've been shut down, like, 3 times from PayPal, and I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, like, what do you think I'm selling? Like, I'm literally selling coaching. Like, what the fuck? And
are you still using Snapchat?
Oh, yeah. I still use Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Snapchat's been great. I love Snapchat. I just hate the updates they did last year. So hopefully they changed it for the better. Because, like, every year the algorithms change. So your visibility changes online. So I'm just sitting here like, how's it going to change? So, you know, I'm just flowing with it. And, collaboration in 2019 is the goal. So, like, being here with you ladies, I was like, oh, shit. I mean, when I saw you guys in the BuzzFeed article, I was like, oh, let me reach out. I was like, New York. Oh, hey.
And thank you so much for doing that.
Because I've had you on our radar for a while. And
you were written on the list.
Yeah.
With the fact that you reached out, we were like,
thank you.
Come on, book her immediately.
That's black girl magic because the girl that wrote that article was black. Shout out to her.
Yes, Patrice.
Shout out to you. And so for me, I'm all about like everybody black. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so I always add everybody. And then if somebody has a podcast, I don't care if you have one listener or no listeners or a million listeners. I'm like, hey, you want to talk about sex?
Yeah. coming through the window. Can I tell you the good word today?
Yep, that's me.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
For folks who want to follow you anywhere on the web or
follow me on Twitter at Glamazon Tyomi. Check out my website, glamerotica101.com, and sexperttyomi.com. That's 2 T's, not the same T. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up for my newsletter there. And you can follow me on Instagram at RealGlamazonTyomi and Snapchat, GlamazonTyomi, and my YouTube channel, Glamerotica 101. If you just put like GlamazonTyomi or Tyomi into Google, you can find all that great stuff cool. in case you forget.
Cool. Yeah. And it will be written in the description of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
That was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
A great episode. Yeah. And if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inhor Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inhor Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You go to InhorUprising.com to pay a ho or to check out our merchandise. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl, HeyAkuaGirl, on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at SlamRid, and you can follow my travel Instagram at CarmenSamDiego. It's a fucking pun. Laugh at it, and you can find everything about Tyomi in the description of this episode. Also, thank you. Bye.
Bye.